Hello, Christchurch. My name is Nathan Dix. I'm the RUF campus minister at Boston University. It's a privilege and an honor to bring the word to you this morning or whenever you are tuning in. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the past several years of Christchurch hospitality for RUF students. At the end of our conference in New Hampshire, we love worshiping with you. We love the welcome that we always receive, and of course the good food. So thank you, and please pray with us that we will be able to bring students and join you this September. Well, we're looking at Psalm 148. So if you'll turn with me there, I will read the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be here with us, that your spirit would illuminate the psalm, that we may be changed, reminded of your goodness, of how worthy you are to praise. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see, this psalm calls all of creation to praise the Lord. The Hebrew word for praise is hallelujah. Hallelujah. In our time and place, alleluia, hallelujah is likely not the first thing on our lips. A global pandemic and its economic fallout have changed our globe, maybe even changed your life in a drastic way. Racial tensions are at an all-time high. There is protest. There are prayers for justice and for healing. On our lips are words of need and even desperation, frustration and disillusion, and yet we are called to praise the Lord. I want to begin with you by looking at three things. Why we don't praise the Lord, why the Lord is worthy of praise, and lastly, how the Lord moves us to praise him. So first, let's start, why don't we praise the Lord? The question is not if we praise. We can't help but praise. It's our human tendency and desire. Yet instead of praising the Lord, we love to praise people. We love heroes. We love celebrities, powerful, talented, and beautiful people on the pedestal of our modern society, and even in the church, there is a person. And yet therein lies the problem. Yes, people are amazing. They're made in the image and likeness of God, but they are also sinful. They're also mortal. People die. They get old. Injuries end sports careers. Scandals end fame and infamy. And then we must find new people to praise, to raise up on this pedestal. And this process is exhausting. Who can we trust? Who can lead us? Who can be a role model for our children, constantly searching for someone, anyone, to praise? Who can we admire and look up to who won't fail us, who won't disappoint us? This praise of people isn't just for big name celebrities and those that you see on TV and make a real impact in their social media accounts, etc. It's seen in our homes. Maybe we praise our children. It's seen in our churches. Maybe we set our pastor up on this pedestal and we want to adore and even worship them. And these pastors sometimes become celebrities. We so desperately want a leader that we can see and hear to praise. Now, the Israelites were just like us. The people who were originally hearing and singing and praying the psalm together, they too wanted a king like the tribes around them. And what they found was that every king failed. Every king sinned. Every king disappointed. And every one of them did that to some degree or another. But no matter what, every single one eventually died. What I am speaking of is not the kind of praise like saying, "Good job," to your son, or writing a glowing review of a movie, or telling your daughter she is beautiful. No, I'm speaking of a praise that is far more powerful, one that captures our hearts, captures, enraptures us, and causes us to worship that person or thing. What I'm talking about is idolatry, which, as you learned, is prohibited in the first and second commandments. So this is our downfall, that we praised not the creator, but the creature. The creation and not the Lord of all creation. We praise the pastor and not the great shepherd. We praise our children and not our heavenly Father, whose children we are. We praise the wealthy, not the King of Kings, not the God who owns all things. We praise the president or a political leader instead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise those who are like us, not the God who made all peoples different and uniquely in the image of God. We praise historical figures of the past, not the God who is Alpha and Omega without beginning or ending. Friends, this is our condition. This is our sin. And what are we going to do about it? Who will atone for it? Who will save us? Who will restore our hearts to praise rightly? And who is actually worthy of praise? Well, Psalm 148 is the third to last psalm in a group of psalms of praise. And if you're like me, I grew up in the church, and sometimes familiarity with these words like "Alleluia" and "Praise be to the Lord" can sometimes breed disinterest. You gloss over it. You're like, yeah, of course. Praise. That's what we're supposed to do. But I want to look closely at the psalm and see how it calls all creation to praise. This psalm lifts our perspective higher and beyond places our eyes can even reach. We imagine the angels and the host in the highest heavens singing praises to the Lord. The spiritual realm that we cannot see, angels and their hosts singing praises, inaudible to us, yet they do sing praises to the Lord. And now we descend into a realm where we can see, however imperfectly. Of course, the telescopes and satellites have enabled us to see it all the more clearly, but the psalmist speaks of the sun, moon, and stars to praise the Lord. He calls on them to praise the Lord. The highest heavens, beyond what we can see with the naked eye. And then moving on, in verse 5, it exhorts all of these things to sing alleluia to the Lord. But why? For he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Why are we to praise? Why is this creation that God made to praise? Because he made it. He made it. In Genesis 1, we read that God spoke and these very things came into existence. The sun, moon, the stars, the heavens themselves, as well as all angels and spiritual beings, even they were created by God. His command, let there be, had a powerful effect, and it did what was commanded. What God said happened. God's decree was not that of a watchmaker, someone who sets things into order and then lets it run and then sits by disinterestedly. No, he didn't just create, but he also sustains his creation. It says he established them forever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. His word is upholding the creation. In Jeremiah 31:35, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and fixed order of moon and stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. What is it that causes the waves to crash on the sea's shore? What is it that causes the sun to shine every morning? It is the Lord. The Lord is his name. If you're able to go out into a field on a dark, clear night, away from light pollution, stop and peer into the stillness, peer into the sky, and look at the stars, look at the moon, and remember not only that it is God that made them, but the very light that shines down for you to be able to see it, it's seeing God's action. It's seeing God sustaining, bringing about that light. The stars praise his name. The heavens declare the glory of God. Our lives these days are rather confined to fewer spaces than we were used to. Maybe the thought of being outside and stargazing casually seems like a luxury. What about the here and now? What if I'm cooped up all the time in a small apartment? What does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with us? What about the down to earth? Well, the psalmist moves lower. He moves into the earth to imagine that which is around us to praise the Lord. In verse 7, we read, praise the Lord from the earth. Our attention is brought to the earth, to the sea, to the weather above us, to mountains, to hills, to trees, beasts, livestock, creeping things, flying birds. And still we're speaking of non-human creatures, right? They don't have voices or souls the way humans do, and yet they are told to praise the Lord. Everything around us is called to praise the Lord. When we see creation around us, we too should give praise for the God who made it and who sustains it. All of these things God has created, and he's worthy of worship for these things. And then he moves to people, to human beings, kings, princes, young men and women, all people are told to praise the Lord. Kings and princes, even those with the most power, even those who seem the most godlike in the world, are told to praise the Lord. Even young men and women, those who have so much potential and are at the prime of their life, physically, mentally, in every way, even they are told to praise the Lord. Notice that it's not just some people. It's not just people of a certain culture, language, race, etc. It's all people. All peoples. All people. Why? Why should we praise? Why should anyone praise? Because God is above them. God is above them as surely as he is above heaven and earth. He is above all of it. He created it. No one else, not even the most glorious king or ruler, not even the most beautiful or famous or marvelous human being, even competes with the Lord our God. No one has the potential for usurping his position in the universe. He alone created it. There is no other God besides the Lord. There's no earthly ruler or politician who demands our praise. There's no creature who is worthy of our praise like God is. There's no ideal, object, experience, philosophy, piece of music or art, food, wife or husband, son or daughter that is worthy of our praise like the Lord is. He alone is creator, sustainer, ruler. His majesty is above and beyond even the most breathtaking sunset, even the most glorious expanse of stars in the sky. He is way better, way cooler, way more glorious. His majesty extends higher than the highest heavens. His majesty extends higher than the supernatural, spiritual realm that we cannot see. He is the Lord. And this Lord is our God. Look at verse 14. It says, he has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. This God who is creator, this God who is worthy of all praise and honor and whose majesty is higher than the highest heavens, this God in whom there is no competition, he chose us. He chose you. He chose me as his people. His. This is glorious. This is magnificent. That God would choose us, the people who failed to praise him, the creatures who failed to praise him. He has drawn near to us. Those whose lips had the praise of everyone and everything, of all of creation on their lips, besides the Lord. This is a mystery. This is a mystery. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, in chapter 2, starting in verse 6, he says this, Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, I'll stop and think about that. Jesus was in the form of God. Which God? The triune God? Is this the Word that was with God in the beginning when he created the world? Yes, it's this God. The God who made the heavens and the earth. Let's continue on. This Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This God, who is higher than the angels, than the highest heavens, came down. He became man. He stooped lower than the lowest of servants. He died the death of a criminal, unjustly on the cross. For us, because of us, and to extend his love to us. God drew near. But that's not the end. In verse 9, Philippians 2, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The God above the heavens descended and is now ascended to the throne of heaven, where he is ruling and will rule forever. For what purpose? So that all peoples, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that these people who crucified him might sing his praises again. You see, God, though he is holy, though he is creator, became like one of his creatures. He became man and he drew near to his people. He saved us, though we were turning from him, for our praise to forever be on his lips. This is a reason to praise in and of itself. It's also a reason to take heart. This is how God moves our hearts to praise. Maybe you're in a place in life where the last thing you can imagine, the last thing you can think to do is to sing the praises of the Lord. Perhaps Psalm 137, verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How can I sing? How can you sing praise in the midst of lament? Why should I praise a God who has allowed suffering to sting like it does? Maybe lifting your head to the heavens alone in and of itself seems like lifting a Mack truck from your neck. I get that. I've been there. I know what that feels like. I know many others have felt that way too. But far better than that, Jesus knows what that feels like. Because he drew near, because he stooped low, he knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is to be angry, to be sad, to be confused and frustrated and overcome with grief and pain. Jesus has been there. And he is now near his people. The Holy Spirit, which was the gift that Jesus gave as he ascended into heaven, he gave the Holy Spirit to comfort and to be with you if you are a child of God. He has promised to be with us through thick and thin to the bitter end. The Holy Spirit, the triune God, is with us. If you are not in a place where praise to the Lord is readily on your lips, let me ask you to sing louder. Sing more earnestly. Let your whole heart, bring your whole self to lift your song to the Lord. If the Lord is creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord is outside of sin. He is holy. He is not overcome by the same suffering. Not even death could hold him down. This is our God, and this is who we are called to worship. There's a song by Leonard Cohen entitled Hallelujah. And the lyrics speaks of the downfall of biblical heroes, King David and Samson. One verse says this: "You say I took the name in vain. I don't even know the name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to you? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah, hallelujah." And the chorus, of course, is Hallelujah. Now, Cohen says he doesn't know the name of who he was singing repeatedly Hallelujah to. He says he doesn't know the name. We pray that he came to know the name. But in Scripture, it is revealed the name of the one who is deserving and worthy of all praise. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we can keep singing Hallelujah through broken voices and hot tears, in joy and in lament, because God never leaves us. And it is our highest privilege as the people of God, it is our destiny to do this forever. So let us praise him. He is creator and comforter. He is creator and sustainer. He is the ruler and redeemer. There is no other. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, give us lips that sing your praise. Forgive us for singing the praises of so many other things, so many other people, so many other gods. Lord, thank you that you have given us the identity of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's through him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can know the Father. We can know the triune God who made the world. And Lord, we ask that our praise here now and forevermore would be on our lips. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.